Good afternoon, this is Paul Sigrist for the National Park Service. Today is Sunday, September 24th, 1995, approximately 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I am in West Harrison, New York, which is just outside of White Plains, with Helene Morgado. Mrs. Morgado came from Brazil in 1929. She was 12 years old at that time. Present also in the room is her husband, and the neighbor who has come over to watch this. Mrs. Morgado, can we begin by you giving me your birth date, please?
May 31st, 1917.
And may I have your full name before you were married, please?
My full name, as it appears on my card, is Helene Coelho da Silva Manta.
Can you spell all of that for us, please?
My first name,
yes,
too?
Yes. Oh.
H-E-L-E-N-E-C-O-E-L-H-O-D-A-S-I-L-V-A-M-A-N-T-A.
And were you named those names for a specific reason?
Well, as far as I know, in Brazil, we used to take our mother's maiden name as well as our father's name, you know, when we were born, the children.
And which one is your mother's maiden name?
Coelho.
Well, that's interesting. Do you know anything about your birth? Did your mother or father ever tell you anything about when you were born?
No.
Where were you born in Brazil?
Belém, Pará.
Can you spell that, please?
B-E-L-E-M-P-A-R-A.
And where in the country is that?
That's right. The equator runs through right there. It's right at the mouth of the Amazon.
Can you tell me a little bit about when you were growing up, what that town looked like?
Well, to me, it was a nice town, just like here, you know, at the city area that I lived in.
Describe the buildings for me, you know, what a building, typical building looks like from that part of the world.
Well, not much difference from here. At that time, you know, of course, now there's a few changes. The last time we went there, we saw a few changes. But the buildings, the houses, the streets.
Did you live in that town until you came to America?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is there one particular building in that town that sticks out in your mind as a child?
Well, there was the Army headquarters a few blocks away from there, and there was a park in front of that. And also on the opposite direction was the church that we used to attend.
Do you remember the name of the church?
Nossa Senhora da Santíssima Trindade.
Oh, my goodness. May I ask you to spell that?
Our Lady of the Holy Trinity.
Okay, that's good enough.
Well, I can spell it in Portuguese if you want me to.
That's okay. Maybe we can do it afterwards. You mentioned the army barracks. What do you remember about this army?
Well, it really wasn't barracks. It was a great big building. And then they had like this, I don't know what you call it, a small area where there used to be a guard all the time. I think the officers used to stay there. And they had a constant guard there. And they used to change shifts just like over here. You know, the police change shifts. The guards used to change every once in a while.
And was that something that you could watch?
Well, it really was no big deal about it, you know. It was just a matter of, the only thing we used to do there, they used to have a lot of mango trees. And all the kids, we used to go, when it was mango time, we used to go to the park and pick up mangoes.
tell me a little bit about the house that you lived in. Can you describe what it was made out of and, you know, how it was constructed?
Well, it was very similar to one of these condos nowadays, and you know they were all adjoining, and we had this big fence in the front, and our house was about in the middle, and it had a great big wall, all wooden, and big gates, and we used to have two stories. In the first floor used to be our living room, our dining room, and a kitchen, and a bathroom, of course, and then the second floor. In the first floor, there's also a bedroom for my parents. And all the kids, we slept on the second floor, which was a great big room, just about bigger than this. We all slept there in hammocks. Each one had their hammocks. They're all They had columns, and they would have hooked to the columns, and we slept in a hammock.
What were the hammocks made out of?
Cotton. As far as I know, they were heavy cotton.
And how would you get these hammocks?
Well, you had to buy them in a market.
So it wasn't something that your family made.
Oh, no, no.
Because this is an urban area, you say, Kansas City. Is there a piece of furniture that sticks out in your mind from that house for some reason?
Well, we should have our dining table. It used to be a great big dining table because we were seven children, plus my father and my mother. And there was a wardrobe. They had drawers on the bottom, and on the top, I used to use it to hang your clothes up. And that, as far as I know, was made out of oak.
Tell me about, did you have electricity in the house?
No.
We used to have
kerosene lamps. And we used to have them in every room. And like if you go from one room to the other, and if you needed more light, you would bring another one and put it there. And around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, they used to light up. You know, my parents would light up the kerosene lamps.
And running water?
Yes, that we did. Yes.
You mentioned a bathroom, so you
yes, and we had a shower in the bathroom, which not too many people used to have them outdoors, but we had everything was enclosed.
Was there ever an occasion where the house had to be heated?
No.
It's hot where you
yes.
are.
Yes, oh yes. As a matter of fact, we never even had sweaters until my father came here and he went back and took his sweaters.
Is there a story that sticks out in your mind from your childhood that reflects the heat and how hot it was at that time?
Well, it was hot, but there was always a breeze. I don't remember, you know, as a child, I don't remember sweating or anything like that because there always seemed to be a breeze. And then at night, my mother, my grandmother used to come over. She used to live about a block away from us. And either we'd go to her house or she would come to our house and sit outside in the front. We had like a little garden and a talk. And at night, I used to feel cold. And then I used to tell my mother, let's go in the house because I'm getting cold. But how cold it was, I don't know.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your parents and why they were in Brazil. I mean, how that all happened. Mm-hmm. Give me sort of a thumbnail sketch of your parents' family background.
Okay. My father was born in Portugal, and he came to Brazil for a better standard of living.
Do you know when he went to Brazil?
When? No, that I don't know.
What was his name?
José da Silva Manta, and then it was changed to Joseph Manta to make it easier when you got his citizenship papers.
Can you spell Joseph in Portuguese?
José, J-O-S-E, with a mark on top of the E.
So do you know roughly how old he was when he first went to Brazil?
I don't know if he was 18 or 19 years old.
But a young man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what work did he find when he got there?
Right away, I don't know. But I know when before we came, he had had a different business, like restaurants. And then he was working as a traveling salesman, or sales representative. And he used to go to the Amazon with the workers, the people, to take supplies to the people in Amazon.
What kind of supplies?
Well, households, food, clothing. Things like that.
Everyday necessities.
Yes, right, yes. Mm-hmm.
What was your father's personality like?
Well, he was very conscious of education. And he was always trying to get, like when we lived here, trying to get the Portuguese people to get together. And he started up quite a few social clubs in Yonkers, New York City, Mamaroneck, Austin, different spots. And then every Sunday, there should be a dance at the one in Yonkers. And it used to be like a family affair. The kids used to dance with the old man, you know. It was really nice.
Is there a story that you like to tell about your relationship with your father before he left to come to America?
Oh, yes. Of course, he used to be away from home, you know, and he used to go to the Amazon.
And that's what you remember him doing.
Yes, right. That's right. And every time he came back home, he would always take us places. And as I said, we were seven kids. And he used to take turns. Every week he would take two or three of us, either to the museum, to the zoo, any place, or sometimes just for a trolley ride. And then he used to take us what we call a boutiquin. That's a boutiquin. That's what, over here, maybe it's translated to bodega, whatever it is. But then you should have a drink, like a ginger ale. And everybody, we should buy a bag of bonbons to take to the kids that were left home. And I used to do it every Sunday. We used to take turns.
Can you spell that name in Portuguese of the store?
Boutiquin. BOTIQUIN.
Thank you. You didn't always give me a spelling bee today.
I thought I went to school.
Well, that was going to be my next question was, you said your father was very education-oriented. Yes. Could he read and write?
Oh, yes, definitely.
He was educated.
Oh, yes.
How did his, the importance that he placed on education, how did that affect your life as you were growing up?
Well, when we came from Brazil, we had to do our school homework after school, and in the evening, we used to sit around the dining room table, and my two older sisters used to read a paragraph out of the book that he would assign the day before. And my sister, Catherine, she used to have to read during the afternoon a chapter and explain the meaning, translate the meaning. And me, I used to have to teach my younger sister and my brother how to read and spell in Portuguese. And then at night, he used to be like our teacher, you know, and we had to go through the whole program with him. And then he would assign us work for the following day.
That's very interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. Tell me what your father looked like. Can you describe him in words? Yes. Well, we're looking at a photograph, but this is just an audio tape. Just describe.
Well, he had a reddish blonde hair and a mustache, and he weighed, I think, about 135 pounds. And he was about 5 feet 7, around there.
Tell me, when you, again, before he left to go to America, what sticks out in your mind about the way your father liked to spend his leisure time? You told the story about taking the kids. That's obviously one thing. What kinds of things did he like to do for himself?
Well, for himself, he used to go to school practically every evening. He continued, you know, going to school. And then when he was home with us, he used to play the accordion and sing, and we used to sing and dance, you know, the kids, until it was time to go to school, to go to bed.
Do you remember any of the songs that you used to sing in Portuguese back then?
I don't remember. I can't come.
Maybe as we're talking.
Maybe
it
will come to me.
Because if you can think of one, I'd love to have you sing it on tape. Tell me what your mother's name was.
Catarina Coelho Manta.
Okay. And can you spell Catarina?
Catharina.
And the other names you've already spelled.
Yes, I spelled it before.
Tell me about her family background.
Well, as far as I know, her father was born in Portugal also, and her mother was Brazilian. And I think there were 11 children. I'm not too sure. But they didn't live near us. Only my grandmother and about three of my relatives lived near us.
Had your mother been born in
Brazil? Yes.
So her parents had come to...
No, her mother was Brazilian born. Only her father was born in Portuguese.
Is there a story about that? About that you can think of? Do you know how the grandparents met? Your grandparents met?
No, I have no idea. No, sorry.
Do you know why her father came to...
No, I don't.
Do you know how your parents met?
No, I don't.
Well, tell me, answer some of the same questions that I've asked you about your father. Use your mother now. Tell me what her personality was like.
Well, my mother was very easygoing. She was a sweetheart. And she was very religious. And the one thing that she taught us every Friday to clean the house was, she says, on Saturday, our Blessed Mother would visit all the homes. And she wanted to make sure that the house was clean.
It's one way of getting the kids to clean the house.
Do
Do you have other things you can tell me that would reflect how religious your mother was? Some of the things that
well,
she did?
Well, we used to go to Catholic school. My father was not Catholic, but he never kept us from our religion.
What was he?
He was Protestant.
Really? Do you know
yeah.
what
and
Protestant,
after,
which sect?
Well, in Brazil, what they have, they used to call it Espiritismo. It's all about the spirits and all that, you know. But I never attended. I never knew. But that's what he used to, you know, they used to say. So I really don't know.
Can you spell that too, please?
Espiritismo. Espiritismo.
Is this a sort of local nature?
Yes, right. China? Yeah, that's what it is, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. And the reason he came to from Brazil to the United States is because every time he went to the Amazon, he came back with malaria. And he always would end up in a hospital. And then the doctors told him, says either he would have to change his job and go to a different climate, or he wouldn't have 6 months to live. So he had an uncle here in Provincetown, Massachusetts, who used to be a fisherman. And so he wrote to him and asked him if he would sponsor him. So the uncle said he definitely would. He'd be glad to. And so my father came with my oldest brother, who was 14 years old.
And what
in 1923.
So you're how old when he leaves?
23, 26.
6 years
six
old?
6 years old, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember him leaving?
Oh, yes. I remember crying.
Can you explain to me the circumstances, like the night he left or something around
that? Well, I mean, the night he left, the neighbors came over to say goodbye, you know, and that's we were all crying. We didn't want to see him go.
I realize we were talking about your mother. We've sort of gotten sidetracked.
Yeah, right.
But it makes me think. Did your father ever tell you or did he ever talk about some of his experiences in the Amazon dealing with these?
No.
He never really talked about
it. No, he never really did, no. Except that he did say he was to feel sorry for some of the people that were so poor. And he says many times he gave them things just because, you know, they looked like they were in need.
And these are the Indians, right? That he's
well, Indians, and, yeah, right. And there was a lot of Portuguese there, too, because Brazil is very similar to the United States. You get all kinds of nationalities.
And in a way, I suppose these are like homesteaders. They're going out into
that's
the...
That's right, yes, so. That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's get back to your mom here. We were talking about her religious preoccupation. Can you tell me how you practiced your religion at home?
Well, we used to say the rosary practically every evening. And we used to go to Catholic school. We used to go to church on Sundays. And as a kid, at that time, I used to sing in a choir at the church and in school. And we used to go to processions, and my mother was always there for us. She was always with us.
What language did you pray in?
Portuguese.
Is there a Portuguese prayer that you remember that you could say for us on tape?
Well, our Father? Or
yes,
Hail Mary.
You can do it in Portuguese,
yeah.
Great.
Oh, no,
take your time.
Padre nosso, que está no céu, santificado seja a vossa vida. I don't remember anymore.
That's okay. Sorry. That's great. Thanks. What were the languages, what was the language of the church service? When you went to church, what language was it conducted?
Latin.
Was it in Latin?
Latin, yes.
And
the prayers.
The prayers.
Yes.
And what about, you said you went to a Catholic school.
Yes.
What language was spoken in the school?
Portuguese. We speak Portuguese.
Who were the teachers of the school?
Well, we had some, I believe they were nuns. And once or twice a week, a priest would come to the school, and like we had like catechism.
Why don't you set the paper up here on the table? Because you're any stories about the nuns? Oh, that's okay. Do you have any stories about the nuns?
Wait, no, except they're very nice. And the school we used to go to, if you just went in the morning, you didn't have to pay. But if you wanted to go in the afternoon, then your parents had to pay, I don't know how much it was, but then you could learn different hobbies, you know, crafts, arts and crafts, or you could continue with your reading and writing, you know, things like that.
Were there things, certain household things that your mother taught you at home?
Well, she taught us how to clean, how to keep ourselves neat and clean, and never to lie.
What about, I mean, actual things to do? For instance, like handiwork, were you taught how to embroider?
Oh, lots. Embroidered, crochet, sewing. No knitting because we didn't need, you know. And then they used to have making lace by tatting. There was a pillow, like, out of straw, filled with straw. And then they used to have all these different things. And with the threads and the pins, you make the different styles of the lace.
And then what would you use the lace for?
Well, some people used to sell them if they made a lot, you know. But at home, we used to make, like, for embroidery of our slips, you know, or doilies for the tables.
So you pretty much made it for your own use.
Oh, yes, right. Just to train us, you know, just to keep us busy.
Where did your clothes come from?
Well, my clothes, my father used to have. She was a distant cousin, and she was a deaf mute. And twice a year, she used to come to our house for 2 weeks, and she used to make all our clothes, underwear, slips, dresses. And my father had a habit, the three girls, younger girls, would all dress alike, and the two older sisters would dress alike. But the boys were different.
How did the girls feel about having to dress alike?
We didn't mind it at all.
You just accepted it.
You just accepted it, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Is there a dress or one or two dresses that stick out in your mind from your childhood that you remember vividly for one reason or another?
Well, we had one was blue and white stripes, long sleeves with a white collar. We all had, you know, the three girls. And the other one was like a pink silk. That was our dressy dress. And with embroidery on the top with a collar. And there was short sleeves. And that was pleated skirt. And we felt very comfortable in them.
And these were things that the distant cousin would have made for you.
Yes. Of course, my father used to pay her, you know.
You mentioned that you have quite a few brothers and sisters.
Two brothers and five. We were five girls and two boys.
Can you list everybody from the oldest to the youngest?
Yes. My oldest brother's name was Armando.
And if they're Portuguese names, please spell them.
Yeah. Armando. My oldest sister was Clara. Clara. My other sister was Maria. Maria, and then Catarina, Catharina, and that was the next one, Helena or N-E, whichever, and then it was my brother Albert, Albert, and my sister Cecilia, Cecilia.
And how many, what is the span from the oldest to the youngest?
Gee, we were all about 2 years apart. About 14.
Do you remember the birth or births of one of your younger siblings?
Well, my brother Al's birth was March 2nd. He was the youngest one. No, my sister Sue was the youngest. Sorry. And her birthday is April 18th. My sister Mary's birthday was March 27th. My sister Clara's birthday was July 17, and my brother Armando's birthday was December 25.
Christmas baby.
Yeah.
I guess what I meant by the question was, do you remember when any of the younger siblings, when they actually were born, do you remember the circumstances around their birth?
Well, I only remember when my sister Seal was born. Because my father had just come to the United States. My mother was pregnant at the time. And I remember she had the baby at home, and I guess she was having a hard time because my grandmother and the midwife told my sister Clara to go and get my uncle. He worked a few blocks away from, because they needed help. My mother might have to go to the hospital. So my sister, I said, let me go with you. So I went with her. We ran all the way. It was like from here, the distance from here to White Plains, to Main Street in White Plains. And we ran, and we told him used to have a tobacco shop store, and he left, and we, by the time we got home, my sister had been born.
Can you talk a little bit about when a woman was pregnant, how she presented herself or didn't present herself? I mean, what were the rules around that sort of thing?
Well, she had clothes like we have here.
Maternity clothes,
yes. Mm-hmm. At least where we came from, we were. I don't know what they did in the interior, but...
Would your mother go out into public for any reason when she was pregnant?
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how was all of that explained to the kids? Do you remember?
No, that one thing they never mentioned. We just took it for granted we were going to have another brother or sister, and that was it.
Well, you said your father went in 1923 because he was getting malaria.
Right.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any instances when he had malaria and was, how it was treated or what?
Well,
they
he
did?
Always had to go to the hospital.
And do you know how it was dealt with at that time?
No, I know for at that time they used to give him a kind of medication. I can't remember the name. And I remember because his urine used to turn blue. And the one time it was explained, that that's the reason because of the medication that they gave him.
What about, actually, this makes me think, were there household remedies that your mother would make at home or to deal with common ailments that you can remember at that time?
Well, she used to make for colds. She used to make a tea out of the skin of lemon and garlic, honey, a little bit of black pepper, and a little bit of water. And we used to have that like as a syrup for cold, if you had a bad cold or... And then if you had princesses to put plaster pad in your heaves up, and then you used to put that on your chest and on your back.
Do you remember as a child an instance where you were very ill?
Well, I was always sick. As a matter of fact, my father was always telling all his friends that I was very fragile. And he used to take me, when he was home, he used to always take me with him. Because the doctor said if I lived up to the age 14, then I would have no problems. But he was always afraid that by the age of 14 I'd be gone because I was always sick.
Which
I had bronchitis.
Bronchitis.
Yet, which left me with bronchiectasis. That's what, according to the doctors, did permanent damage to my bronchial tubes and my lungs.
Do you remember how that was treated and what you would have to do, like where they put you or and what they did?
No,
to you?
Just as I said, mustard plaster on the chest and on the and then drinking that tea. That's how I was to be treated. Hmm. And once in a while, my mother should take me to the doctor, or sometimes just to the drugstore because the druggist up there was just like a doctor. They gave you, they told you what medication to take and all that, and the doctors used to agree with it.
I haven't asked yet, actually. What kind of foods did you eat?
Just like here. The main food there is what we call feijoada.
Spell that,
that's feijoada, feijoada.
Thank you.
And that is black beans, and you have like the dried beef, smoked meats. That the meat is cooked with the beans, and then on the side they serve white rice, plain cooked rice. And then they usually, with that, they would serve, not to the children, of course, not to the whiskey, what's what do you call that? They call it cachaça, a tequila. And with a lot of sugar, they used to put the sugar in with a piece of lemon, and they used to squeeze the lemon, and they used to serve that. As a matter of fact, they do that in the restaurants. Every time, when the last time we went to Brazil, and on Saturday nights, the restaurants all had that specialty.
Can you spell it? Cachaça?
Cachaça. C-A-C-H-A-D... C-A-C-H-A-C-A. And the C has a little hook on the bottom that changes it from a ca to sha.
I see. And that's a typical Brazilian...
Yes.
...kind of thing. What about for special occasions? Like, say, for a religious holiday like Christmas or something, was there a special food that was prepared for that occasion?
Well, as I said, the feijoada.
That would be.
And then they have, sometimes they have festivals, and they used to make the, I can't think of the name. it coconut, the milk from the coconut, and they use that a lot in down south. The white, it looks like white corn.
Oh, cornmeal?
No, it's not cornmeal. It's
grits,
but whole grits, and they would cook that in the coconut milk with sugar, and then they put cinnamon on top, and they used to sell that, or your parents would make that as a treat for the kids. Or French toast. My father used to make a lot of French toasts as holidays. And one holiday, he always did the cooking. The big holidays, but especially Christmas, because of my mother's day off, and he used to do all the cooking.
Did he do that in America as well as in Brazil?
Yes, that he did.
So that was another way that he...
That's right,
something
yes.
Something he enjoyed doing.
Right.
All right, your father goes to America in 1923 for his health, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What does he do when he gets here in 23?
Well, I don't know what that...
He was there for a while, then he went to New Bedford.
And from New Bedford, then he came to Yonkers. And when we came to Yonkers, he was working for the Bronxville Nursery.
And what is the span of time from the time he goes to Provincetown to the time he gets to Yonkers, do you think?
Gee, about a couple of years, maybe a
year
or
so. So it took a while. Home change, if it changed, after your father went to America in 23. After your father went to America in 23.
No, it didn't change because he used to send my mother a regular car to take care of us. You know, for our, to take care of us. And the only thing that changed was because my mother was always very kind-hearted. Anybody that came to the house asking for anything, she would feed them. She would let them sleep, spend the night, or whatever it was. And my father didn't go for that because he was always afraid that we would catch something from the other people. And whenever he was away, we always had somebody outsider that we never knew that my mother would take in.
I can see where he would be a little concerned in a situation like that. So he's sending money regularly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did your mother seek employment out of the house at all during that time?
No, they didn't. I mean, before, like what she used to do is have somebody coming in, do the work, you know, the house cleaning. And
what about you mentioned grandparents down there, or grandmother?
I never knew my grandfather.
No, just your grandmother.
Yes.
Well,
mm-hmm.
did she help out financially while your father
No, because was my uncle supported her. He used to work and then support my grandmother.
Do you have a story about your grandmother from your childhood?
Well, it's just that I was very close to her. I loved her very much, and I was always up her house.
Did she live by herself?
No, she lived with my uncle, and it was a single uncle, and it was a married uncle, and his wife. The wife was my aunt, really, and her husband. And they had two children, and they all lived with my grandmother, all in the same house, a big house.
And close to you, I think you said.
Yes, well, just a couple blocks, not even that much.
When you were growing up, maybe while your father is in America, what did you know about America? How did you think about America when you were a little girl in Brazil?
To be honest with you, I really didn't. I really never gave it a thought until my father wrote home, because he was working as in the ships, so that he could go back and forth without paying. You know, so he used to work aboard the ships, and that's how he used to visit us.
So he did come down occasionally.
Oh, yes. Oh, that he did. And then he wrote home. He wanted to know if mother would like to come to the United States because he would be much easier, you know, and he would like to have the family back here, you know, all together. So my mother, first, she didn't want to come, but we all as kids, oh, come on, Mom, let's go, come on. So she agreed to it. But I give her a lot of credit because the life over here for her was altogether different. She didn't know anyone. She didn't know the language.
What were her fears about coming? Why didn't she want to come initially?
Well, because she felt she was leaving her mother. She was leaving her family. And she just didn't know America. And she was afraid that she wouldn't be able to get along here. You know, it would be cold in the winter. And she didn't know just how we would get used to it.
Did your father come back down to Brazil to get you?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Yes.
How long was he in Brazil before you all left? Like, was he down there?
Gee, I really don't know. All I know, he went to get our passports and, you know, to get all the legal papers and make arrangements on a boat for us to come here.
Do you remember packing to leave?
Oh, yes.
What sticks out in your mind about that whole process of getting the house ready and getting yourself
ready? My uncle, my father's brother, the one that had the tobacco shop, he took over our house. I mean, where we lived, the furniture, everything was left to him. And we just packed our clothes that my father felt that we needed, because he felt after we got here, then he would be able to dress us the way, you know, like for winter clothes and things like that. But our clothes that we had was just like here. As a matter of fact, when we went to school, the teacher says, "Did you bring that from Brazil? Did you bring that from Brazil?" They were surprised because we were dressed just like over here.
Right, and she was probably expecting.
They thought that we were Indians, you know what I mean?
Do you remember objects that you packed? Aside from the clothes, what objects did you take, if any?
I don't think we brought any.
Did you bring anything that was uniquely yours, like a toy or a book or something like that?
I don't remember that.
Do you remember how your other brothers and sisters felt? I mean, did any of your other... One of brothers already here, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did one of the brothers or sisters not want to come like your mother didn't want
to? No, nobody ever mentioned anything. We figured whatever my mother decided, we would go along with.
Was there any kind of a send-off given to you before you actually left your town?
Well, just our close friends and our neighbors. They came over to say goodbye, my relatives.
Where did you have to go to get onto the ship?
Oh, to the port, to the, wherever the ships left, you know, from Belém. I don't know the name of the,
How did you get from your town to the port?
We walked. It wasn't too far away from where we lived.
I see, so you're pretty close to the ocean.
Yes,
where you are.
Yes. The Amazon River.
You walked with your luggage?
Or? No, my father. My father carried the luggage and my mother. And a couple of our friends came over, you know, and my uncles, they took whatever, you know, so that we wouldn't have to carry anything.
How did you feel about leaving you're old enough, I mean, you're 12, you're old enough, you're in school, you've got a life mm-hmm. in this town. How did you feel about being uprooted like that?
Well, the only thing that really would bother grandmother behind. That really would bother me. And the day that we left, we're on the way to the ship, we had a pass where my grandmother lived at the corner, like from here to the corner. And they were all there waving to us. And I felt like taking off and running, you know, giving her a last hug and a kiss. But we just waved and kept on going.
What was the name of the ship that you got on?
Stephen.
Can you spell that, please?
Stephen.
And did you have to wait any period of time before you could get on the ship? When you arrived in the port?
No, well, we just went on, you know, we boarded the ship. My father had all our passports ready, and then we just got on board the ship.
Did you have to undergo any kind of medical examination prior to getting on the
Yes,
ship?
We did, yes. And as a matter of fact, when we got to America, I was scared stiff because I had fallen in a hole. See, we had been to a procession during the day, and I was very tired.
This is still in Brazil.
This was still in Brazil, yes. And my sister had gone to her neighbor's house to ask my mother if she could visit her neighbor. So it was about 8:30. My mother felt that she should be home. So she told me, go tell Clara that it's time for her to come home. So I was tired, so I didn't go look where I was going. It was just about the next block from our, you know, the same street. And I never noticed that the workers had been working on the water system, whatever it was. And it was a hole, and I fell in a hole. And I scraped my leg.
This is your right leg?
My right leg, yes. Right, yes. Uh-huh. And I went home naturally, you know. And my mother scolded me because she says, well, I should have been paying attention to where I was going. But she washed it and took care of it. But then I got very, very infected. And as a matter of fact, when my father went, my leg was all swollen, and he took me to the doctor. And the doctor says, well, that was pretty bad infection because you could almost see the bone. That's how, you know. And he says, well, I'll give you the medication. And I don't know what he gave me. He gave me an injection of some kind. And medication to put on my leg. And that I should always keep it covered. So then I was told that maybe when we got over here, it hadn't healed. Maybe they wouldn't let me get off the boat. So I was petrified. I said, suppose my family stays here. So when I was going, when we were in Ellis Island by now, I was shaking. I was actually shaking of fright. So the doctor asked me, why are you shaking? Are you afraid? I said, yes. He said, why? So I told him, it's about my leg, because I was told that I may not be allowed to leave the boat. So the doctor looked at it, you know, and he asked me how it happened. So I told him, contagious. We only keep people here that are contagious, and you are not contagious. I started contagious. I started to cry.
How long before you left to get on the ship did that happen? I mean, when did you fall in the hole in regards to when you got
on the ship?
It
was about a month.
I'm just curious, were you the only one in the family who was worried about
this? Yes. Well, at least the other ones never mentioned anything. You know, we never discussed it, but I was just afraid.
So tell me about, you got to the ship. Tell me about the accommodations. What did it look like where you stayed on the ship?
Well, at first, we were overcrowded. We had a lot of people going to some port on the way. And we had to sleep. We were about 16 people, children and women, all in one bunk. You know, I mean, each one had their own bunk beds, but we're all in one room. But we didn't think anything of it.
And am I to understand then that the men were separated from the women?
Oh, yes.
Said women,
yes,
and children in one,
yes,
place.
Right, yes. And then now when they got off, these people got off this place, then it was different because we had the place to ourselves. And the captain of the boat was very nice. I was very, very seasick. I couldn't even walk. So he used to take me every morning with my father, one holding on each side, for me to walk around the deck. For me to get, you know, I finally got over. But thank God, you know, I finally got over, but not as bad, you know, not as good as I would have liked to. But I thought he was very, very nice. But every morning, every night, he used to come and take with my father, make me walk around.
What time of the year is this?
In June.
June yes. Of 1929.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All those people that were crowded with you, who were they or what were they?
Oh, I can't think of the name of the place. They were blacks, most of them.
Maybe going to the Caribbean somewhere?
No, it was, well, Caribbean, wherever it was. I know that, you know. And then we had some ship had trouble aboard the ship, and they didn't have a doctor. So our ship had a doctor, and we went out of our way to help. I don't know if they had an accident, somebody was hurt, or what it was, but they needed a doctor, and our boat was the closest to them. So we went out of our way close to 2 weeks, you know, by the time we got there and back to our...
So it took two weeks to go from Brazil to New York?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Tell me where they fed you on the boat.
Where?
Yeah.
We should have
what?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, we used to have big tables in the deck, which was very nice. As you were eating, you could see the water. You know, it was very nice.
Right up on deck?
Yes, mm-hmm, yes. And, of course, they had also windows, you know, in case of rain or bad weather. And the food was regular, eggs for breakfast, toast, and stews, beef, potatoes and meat and rice. And, you know, regular food.
Was this a Portuguese ship or an American ship?
No, I think it was English line.
English?
I think it was an English.
Tell me about your brothers and sisters on the ship and if there's a story that you remember about something that may have happened to one of them on the ship.
No, we all used to play together. And we used to sing. There's some men that used to play guitars, you know. And we used to go on the deck and sing. And my brothers and sisters, we all got along, always got along. And we used to stick for each other. If one got hurt or something, or if he did something wrong, we'd always try to hide it so they wouldn't be punished.
Did something happen like that on the ship?
No, the only thing I can remember is my sister Clara tried to cut my sister Mary's hair. She didn't like the way my sister Mary's hair was cut. So when she tried to cut it over here, she cut a little nip on the earlobe. And she was so scared, you know. But then the ship doctor came. The ship doctor came and said, "Don't worry about it, that's nothing." But she was more afraid of my father punishing her.
After all those people got off at whatever port that was, did you still have to be segregated where you slept? Did all the women still sleep together?
Well, then we were the only ones, my mother and about three other women that came from Brazil, and those kids.
Oh, I see. I thought maybe, you know, like 100 people got off and 100 people were still
on. Yeah, but they had different... Oh, no, we weren't that many on.
I see.
But, you know, they had different rooms, you know, where different people slept in. But after they left, there was a lot of people that left, that got off the boat. Barbados.
I'm just curious, did your mother, in later years, because she's sort of, you know, she has her doubts about all of this, did she ever tell you later about how she felt about being on that ship?
Because
I can only imagine a lot of things are going through her mind.
Yeah, but she didn't say anything. Except the day of the that we were about to land, my father made us all get up early to see the Statue of Liberty. They make sure that we get room, you know, that we're at the top to see the Statue of Liberty. And my mother got a big thrill out of that, too, you know.
Did you, as a child, know what that was?
Statue of Liberty? Well, my father tried to explain to us how it was donated to the United States and to for the people that needed to come to the United States, they would be welcome in the United States.
All right, well, so you're in New York. The ship comes into New York, and you're taken to Ellis Island. Yes.
Right, yes.
What else sticks out in your mind about being at Ellis Island? You mentioned the exchange with the doctor.
Right. And then another thing is that I looked around. All the women were dressed in black. Black shawls, their head, only their face could see their face. Black outfit, except my mother. I was so happy, so proud of her. She had this beautiful blue dress on. That to me, you know, I'm so glad my mother never dressed like that.
Were you curious about why this was? Had you ever seen anything like this?
No, some of them, they were coming from other places. See, and they didn't speak Portuguese. So we really, my father, he was very nice, but he had... he wouldn't let us associate with people that he felt was below us. See, and aboard the ship, except the few that came from where we lived, you know, our area, we were not allowed to associate with anybody. So we had that.
Of course, and here you're at Ellis Island, where there are probably lots of people.
That's right.
He doesn't want you to associate with.
Right, and not only that, I mean, all the people from Russia, from all over the, you know, the world, and they didn't speak the language, and we just stayed in our own group.
Did your father speak any English at this point, having been in America for a while?
Well, he spoke a little bit, yes, because he went to school, evening school. He used to go to evening school to learn.
Do you remember, and you may not, but that whole exchange with the doctor, was there an interpreter that was there?
No, the doctor spoke Portuguese.
Did they examine you for anything else that you can remember?
Well, I remember, like, a complete physical.
Oh, they gave you a physical?
Yeah, complete physical, yes. Mm-hmm.
What else sticks out in your mind about what you saw on the island? Where the physical was?
You mean in there? It was a small room, you know, and you went to took your turn. They would call you and take you in there. And they had all different areas.
You started to say something, and I interrupted you.
Well, it was when the Statue of Liberty and then the grounds around, we thought it was just beautiful, you know, the scenery, the sights around, and then towards New York, all the big buildings, you know.
Did they feed you while you were at Ellis Island?
No, I don't remember. I don't think so, because I know my father had a friend with a car, and my brother had a car, was there in the car to pick us up. And from there, we went right to a restaurant.
In New York City.
New York City, yes.
Uh-huh. So once but you I got don't off know. Of Ellis Island, you went,
yeah, went
to
the restaurant. Right.
What sticks out in your mind about that first day in New York, going to the restaurant? What things did you see that you had never seen before that were new to you?
Well, actually, nothing.
Because you came just from sort of a city.
Well, the city, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember what you ate at the restaurant?
No, I really don't. To be honest with you, I don't. I thought of try to think about it before, but it never...
Well, there's no reason why you should remember necessarily. Where did you go after you ate?
We went to Yonkers. We went to live at 2 Lawrence Street in Yonkers.
Describe the house or the apartment or whatever.
Well, this used to be a boarding house. The people that ran it were Portuguese. And we used to all... They had about 4 or 5 boarders. But, they had a big house, big place. And we had 2 floors for ourselves. And we stayed there a few weeks. And my father got an apartment for us on South Broadway. And there we lived there until just about a year before I got married to Morrow Street, which used to be a very nice area now before, but now I understand it's...
So the Morrow Street apartment, you were there for quite a long time.
No, South Broadway, we were there.
South Broadway.
South Broadway, yes. Right at the corner of McLean Avenue was a park across the street, and we used to go to the park, or we used to go to... right at the border of New York, the park there. We used to walk to the other park. I can't think of the name.
Tell me about going to school, registering for school and actually going there, what that was.
Well, we lived close to school number 3, which is only about 3 blocks away from our school. But we couldn't go there because we didn't know the language, and they didn't have a special teacher, to get us started. So they sent us to school number 19, which was about 2 miles away from where we lived. And we had to walk. There's no buses at that time. You walked. And there was no cafeteria. We used to have our lunch packed. And we used to eat outside until the janitor, he got acquainted with us. And when he realized that we were eating outside, he asked us, he said, you can come in the school, sit on the stairs here, eat your lunch, and then you can go out, call me, and I'll unlock the door for you. And that's what we did. We did that for a few years until one of the fourth grade teachers saw us sitting on the stairs. He said, "What are you kids doing in school?" So we're eating our lunch. And she couldn't understand that, so she said, "You don't belong here." So she went to the principal, and we were transferred to school number 3. Of course, by then, we know the language, and how to read and write. And
How did you learn English?
There used to be this teacher, and there used to be 5 Italian students. And in the morning and in the afternoon, we used to go to her. Her name used to be, I never forget, Miss Della Sorti. It was an Italian. And she used to explain chair, how to pronounce it, and what it was, And that's the way we learned.
Do you remember the first word in English that you knew?
All right, come on, and yes.
What about your mother? Did she make an attempt to learn English?
She did, but she didn't have friends that spoke English. When she became acquainted with Portuguese, they spoke Portuguese, so that's...
And was there a large Portuguese community where you...
Oh, yes, in Yonkers. But we only associated with them on Sundays at the socials. But as far as visiting, there were only 2 families that were allowed used to come to our house. And we could go to their house, but not to the others. My father just didn't want us.
Your father would allow you to associate with these 2 families.
Yeah, right. But no one.
You not.
Right, yes.
With the other.
Right.
And what was your father doing again at this time? I forgot.
At that time, as far as I know, he was working for the Bronxville Nursery.
Doing what exactly?
I don't know. I don't know if he was a gardener or if he was a salesman there. I really don't know.
As a child in Yonkers, did you ever experience any kind of bigotry or prejudice against you because you were a foreigner at that time? Did kids make fun of you?
You mean in Brazil?
No,
over here in Yonkers. Well, the only thing they used to ask every time, did you bring that from Brazil? Did the clothes, is that the clothes? I mean, they could get over that... But otherwise, they were all very friendly, very nice.
So no.
And I was in the sixth grade, when we had a test. We were studying about different countries, and we had been studying about Brazil. And we had a test, and one of the questions was, what language is spoken in Brazil? So I put Portuguese, and the teacher marked it wrong. So when I, got my paper back, I noticed it. And I raised my hand and said, yes. I said, you marked this question by the number, I read, wrong, and I'm right. So she got all, says, come over here. So I went, and as I was walking, to her desk, I was sitting in the back row, and I told her, we speak Portuguese in Brazil, not Spanish. And she didn't like that. She told me I embarrassed her in front of the class. I had to stay 1 week after school because I embarrassed her in front of the class. That was the only, incident that we had.
Well, of course, we're right,
Well, but I made her,
What about night school? Did your parents ever attend night school?
My father always did, and my two older sisters.
Oh, so some of the kids did too, then?
Yes, oh yes.
Well, what do you know about their experiences in night school?
Well, they learned how to read and write, more than, because they went to work soon after we got here, and, not right away anyway, but so that they will be able to go to a school, work and get a job. They used to go to night school, plus the days, at that time they were able to leave school at 16 years of age. And then from there, they used to go to night school. My father saw to that.
When you guys first got here, and of course, the older brothers and sisters are in their teens, right?
Right.
At this point,
mm-hmm.
Did any of them have to go right to work without going to school at all?
No.
So all of the kids got some schooling.
Oh, yes, definitely.
What sibling got a job first?
My oldest brother.
And what job did he get?
Gee, I don't know.
Is that the brother that came with your
dad? Yes, with my father, yes.
I see.
Yeah.
What about of the kids? What about
well,
the
my
other
sisters
kids?
Later on when they started working, they went to work in a dress shop. They were sewing machine operators. That's what they did.
What was the hardest thing for you to get adjusted to in this country?
The cold weather.
Do you have a story about? You told earlier.
Well,
the
thing
the
was.
Story, but,
well, the thing was, see, my father, like 1 week. He bought me a coat. Another week, he brought my sister a coat. And then it was my brother, Al, hadn't gotten a coat yet. And we went to school. It was so cold one day. So what I did with my sister, Catherine, we put him between the two of us. We opened our coats, and we walked sideways to school so that he could be, covered with our coats to keep warm. That we did. So when he got home, we told my father that. So my father says, all right, I'll take him out tomorrow and buy him a coat.
Do you remember seeing snow for the first time?
Oh, yes.
Can
oh, we loved it. Oh, it was the cold and, and oh, we went out and we were dancing on the snow and throwing it up in the air.
What do you think was the hardest thing for your mother to get adjusted to in this country?
Well, over here she had to do all the work. Without, of course, we used to help her out. Well, in Brazil, she didn't have to do that. See, my father, what he earned was enough to get a maid. And sometimes there, you get a maid for their room and board, too. And they're willing to work for you. Of course, you get their clothes and you buy everything they need.
And the cost of living is much lower, too.
Oh, yes, right, yes.
Uh-huh. So she actually had to do work that she wasn't accustomed to.
That's right, yes. Uh-huh.
Did she keep contact with her family in Brazil?
Oh, yes, all the time.
Did any of them ever come to America to visit or to live?
Well, we had not to live, but we had a cousin that used to be an airline stewardess, and she used to come and visit us.
Was that be later?
Oh, yes, later on, right. Well, my grandmother died not too long after we came.
I'm just curious, how did your mother react to her mother's death?
Oh, she was very depressed, very felt very bad. We all did.
And she was wondering if she just suddenly felt like that was her last connection.
Yeah, that's what she did feel that way, yes. Although she kept writing to her brother, but the correspondence after a while, just faded away as usual. And then he died about 2 years after we were here.
So she is sort of losing
her connections quickly.
When you think of yourself, do you think of yourself as Portuguese or American or what? How do you think of yourself in terms of nationality?
Brazilian. Brazilian American citizen.
When did you become a citizen?
Well, when my father got his citizenship papers, and we were not old enough to get our own, so we became citizens under his citizenship.
Do you remember what year that was?
Gee, I don't remember.
Was it soon after you got here?
Oh, yes. Not too far after we got here.
Yeah. We have just a second left, and I want to make sure we mention Mr. Morgado. What year did you get married?
May 31st, 1936.
And your husband's name?
Joseph
Morgado.
Morgado.
And where did he come from?
Portugal.
And what year did he come to America?
1910? Oh, wait. 1919.
And Mr. Morgado told me he had come through Providence, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And what was it that you liked about him when you met him?
Well, I didn't like him, to be very honest with you, because I met him at one of the dances that my father's, you know.
One of these socials.
Socials, right. And he was always staring at me. Every time I danced around, he was always staring. And I didn't like anybody staring at me. So I told this fellow I was dancing with, I said, you know, let's not dance by that fellow. So he said, why, is he getting fresh with you? I'll take him out. I said, no, I just don't like him.
Did you have children?
Two boys.
Their names?
Joseph Martin Morgado Jr. and Richard Anthony Morgado.
Great. We have to end. We've got like a second left. This is Paul Sigrist signing off with Helene Morgado on Sunday, September 24th, 1995, in West Harrison outside.